Welcome to the latest Callan podcast.
Glad to be here for this one.
Yeah, and if you are managing a defined benefit plan, a nonprofit endowment, or even a sovereign wealth fund, your margins for error on macro level insights are, well, they're razor thin.
Absolutely. You really do have time to sift through all the noise out there.
Right. And you certainly can't afford to build asset allocation strategies on, faulty economic assumptions.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is targeting a very specific piece of noise. We're looking at a recent Callan blog post titled Imports and GDP, the Facts About a Complex but Timely Issue.
It's a great read.
It really is. And the mission here is to debunk this pervasive macroeconomic myth that just routinely clouds investment analysis. I mean, it's the assumption that a rise in imports immediately shrinks gross domestic product.
It is genuinely wild to see how entrenched this myth is. Like, you expect to see flashy, reactive headlines on financial news networks every time import data drops.
Oh, sure, the media always jumps on it.
Right. But the Callan blog post points out that even the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the BEA itself, uses this misleading shorthand.
Yeah, they do.
They routinely publish language implying that a downturn in imports is directly driving strong GDP growth. How do the PhDs drafting official reports get caught in this trap?
Honestly, it has just become an institutionalized habit at this point,
Oh,
and it's completely bipartisan.
really?
Oh, yeah. You see this identical phrasing universally applied across different political administrations. I mean, including official reports released under the Biden administration.
Wow.
Setting politics entirely aside and just looking strictly at the mechanics, the language used in these official summaries fundamentally contradicts how the underlying math actually functions.
Okay, so if the official shorthand is that misleading, where exactly is the disconnect happening? I mean, everyone in our audience knows the classic GDP equation.
C plus I plus G plus X minus M.
Exactly. So is there a fundamental flaw in how net exports are being calculated, or is it just a massive misinterpretation of that minus M?
It is entirely a misinterpretation of the subtraction. People see the minus sign next to imports and assume it represents a penalty to growth.
But it doesn't.
No, because imports are already embedded in the other components of the equation, in consumption, investment, and government spending.
Got it.
When a domestic entity purchases a piece of foreign machinery, that expenditure is immediately counted as investment. Subtracting the imports at the end is merely a ledger correction.
Ah, so it backs out the foreign value to ensure the final GDP figure only reflects purely domestic production.
Exactly. It prevents taking credit for output generated overseas.
That makes perfect sense as an accounting mechanism. But if it's simply backing out foreign goods to isolate domestic production, why does Wall Street collectively panic when import levels spike?
Because the market conflates a current accounting adjustment with future economic potential.
Okay, how does this mathematical nuance actually translate to the real-world data we use to evaluate domestic equities?
Well, while imports don't shrink current GDP mathematically, they do represent domestic output displacement. Take a major capital expenditure. If a national logistics firm upgrades its fleet using imported vehicles, the math zeroes that out for today's GDP calculation. But that is hundreds of millions of dollars in capital not flowing to domestic auto manufacturers.
Meaning the immediate GDP print looks perfectly neutral, but the actual drag on domestic growth, like the missed revenue targets for US manufacturers, the lack of secondary domestic spending, that won't actually filter into the broader economic data until subsequent quarters.
That is the crucial lag, and it dictates how you must model the impact of trade policies.
Like tariffs.
Yes. When tariffs are introduced to make foreign goods more expensive, the goal is to shift capital expenditure back to domestic producers. But mathematically, a tariff does not instantly boost GDP by artificially shrinking the import side of the ledger. Rebuilding local supply chains and shifting corporate purchasing behavior takes massive amounts of time.
Which fundamentally changes the timeline for asset allocation. If you are managing a sovereign wealth fund, you can't just react to a new tariff policy by instantly going overweight on domestic industrial equities.
No, you are forced to model for that lag.
Yeah.
You have to hedge against the short-term margin compression from more expensive supply chains while you wait for the intended domestic output surge to actually materialize. It requires looking completely past the initial media reaction. The broader market consistently misprices these macroeconomic events because it treats the import data like a real-time penalty box rather than a leading indicator of shifting capital flows.
So the real takeaway for you listening today is simple. The next time an official report or a news alert blames a quarterly GDP fluctuation on a shift in imports, to ignore the shorthand.
Right. It's an accounting mechanism to back out foreign production, not a direct subtraction from current growth.
Which leaves you with a much deeper question to consider as you review your portfolio allocations.
If shifts in imports and trade policies don't actually impact current GDP, how much of today's domestic economic data is actually just a delayed echo of policy shifts from months or even years ago?